is great and glorious. We put our trust, we put our trust in your name, Jesus. Able to save and deliver us. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Oh, blessing, blessing and honor, glory and power to our God forever and ever. All of the praise. Come on. Yours forever. Some of you gotta put your hands together. Say, hey. Yes, my God. My God is mighty and marvelous. He put our trust in your name, Jesus. Nothing to fear, you are here with us. Yeah. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Come on. We sing blessing and honor, glory and power unto our God forever and ever. All the honor and all the praise. Come on. Yours forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, our God He reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's lift Him up in this place. Say that our God is in control, steadfast, unmovable.
Nothing's impossible.
Our God, He reigns forever.
Our God is.
Do you believe He's in control? Steadfast, unmovable.
Nothing's impossible.
Our God, He reigns. Oh, someone praise Him today. Give him a mighty praise, this house. He's alive today. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Go on.
Go on and speak against my borrowed innocence.
The judge is my defense. I'm going free.
Right where the gavel,
I heard the freedom
ring through the heart of hell. I'm going free.
I'm going free. Yeah, come on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Just throw them in the sea.
That's just not who I am. Lord, I'm a brand new man. I'm going free.
I'm on the narrow road. It's paved with grace and it's going to lead me home. Come on.
Jesus is my liberty.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah.
You threw my shackles in the sea.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Jesus is my liberty. I'm going free.
I'm free. I'm free indeed.
Come on, if that's you, I want you to sing it out loud. I am free. Be a testimony to someone here who needs freedom. That God still sets people free. Let's declare it.
We are free.
The sea,
glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty.
I'm going free. Oh, I'm going free. Oh, I am free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many believe God is still a freedom God? A God who cares about freeing people. You know, there's power in your testimony today. There's power when you praise in your testimony. Someone might be here today looking for Jesus, and they're looking for a happy church. And today you might have come in, you might have come in today a little bit sad, a little bit broken, a little bit stuck. But I'm here to tell you, if you turn your eyes on the Lord and you start testifying the goodness of Jesus in your life, that sadness is going to fly away because it has no place in a man of God or a woman of God. You will find the joy that you've left, that you've lost, as you begin to turn your eyes back on the Lord today. And someone here is going to get saved because they're looking at you and saying, wow, it works. Wow, it works. You carry an incredible power today. The power to praise in the middle of storms. And Jesus will shut them up, turn it off, and get you through it better than ever. So go ahead and lift both hands and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to turn my eyes back on you. I'm ready, God, to testify the goodness of Jesus in my life like never before. Come on, praise him in this place. Oh, what a good God.
What a good God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, a purchase of God, born of His Spirit, lost in His blood. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior.
I'm happy and blessed. Come on, we declare that this morning.
Oh, yes. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, oh, praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Oh, we praise You all day long. We lift the name of Jesus higher and higher. Come on, praise Him with me tonight. Jesus, we lift You high. We lift You high, Jesus. What a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. The wonderful Jesus.
Hey.
Oh, what a Savior.
He's wonderful.
Hey, He's wonderful.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
Wonderful Jesus. Spirit today.
Jesus.
Oh, what a Savior.
Say. Oh,
what a Savior.
Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. What?
Oh, it never gets old praising Jesus. Oh, what a Savior.
For Jesus, oh, what a Savior, wonderful. just for Jesus. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Well, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we lift you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we're ready for a breakthrough today. Oh, we're ready for a breakthrough today. Come on, if you're ready for a mighty touch from heaven, why don't you give God a praise in this place? Hallelujah. Hey. Oh. I give you glory for all you brought me through. Now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. I'm moving forward to follow after you. Now I'm ready, and now I'm ready for whatever you want to do. Your presence is an open door. You, Lord, like never before. Oh, your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Come, Lord, free season. Your grace has been enough, and I'm believing the best is yet to come. Oh, we believe that this morning. Before me, my hope on things above, and in you, Jesus, hey, the best is yet to come. Oh, come on. Your presence is an open door. I want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. Oh, we walk through that open door today. Come on, let's give God our biggest praise in this place. Won't you give him a hand clap? Won't you begin to shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Because you serve a God who's alive today. There is no defeat. There is no death. I see a breakthrough is coming by faith. I see a miracle. I God has made me a promise and I won't stop now. Oh, I know. Shout it. Say, I know. A breakthrough is coming. I think I see a miracle. My God has made me a promise and it won't stop now. Hey, I know a breakthrough is coming. My God, I see a miracle. My God has made me a promise and it won't stop. Oh, come on. Has made me a promise and it won't stop now. One more time. Hey. I know breakthrough is coming. My faith, I see a miracle. My God made me a promise and it won't stop now. Hey. Come on, someone praise him for the breakthrough.
Bike really struggling, and I see that father go right out in Route 15. He had no authority. He went right out in the middle of the road, looked at me, told me to stop, which I already was. He looked at the person coming, told him to stop, and then he waved his son across. And I began to think about that. We have the authority. We have it. God gave it to us that we can get right in the middle and say, stop, let's go. I begin to think of how we have it. We have it. God gave it to us. Some of you just need to say, sickness, stop. Let's go. I'm not going to leave today the same at Charleston Church. When I leave, there's going to be peace in my home. You need to say it, and you need to believe it, and you need to say stop, because this is where we're going. So I just wanted to pull about 100% of you today and say stop your stuff and let's go. Let's go. We have the authority to see the miracle coming. We have the authority to be well. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. So I'd like 100% of Charleston Church to raise your hand right now and say, I am going to leave different today. I'm going to leave different. Whatever you have for me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I see a breakthrough. I see a miracle. I see whole. I see deliverance in the name of Jesus. Good things. Amen. Somebody just say good things. Amen. Amen. Tell about two people today. I'm going to leave better. And you may be seated. Amen. 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 Could you turn the monitor up so I can hear me? You don't want me screaming. It's not good. Charleston Church, will you let all our guests know we're glad to have them in the house today? We're so glad you're here. Everybody needs a good church, amen? And if you brought a guest with you, or maybe you're here and this is your first time, if you would take the connection card right in the seat in front of you, take it, fill it out, and put it in the offering. We just want to connect with you and help you. Everybody needs a good, spirit-filled church. Amen? Amen. And somebody say tonight. Tonight, if you have a student or a child that's in grade 6, through 12th. Will you raise your hand? Raise it up, raise it up. Okay. Tonight, you need to be here tonight at church, because right after church, we're going to go to the fellowship hall. Pastor Kelly, she's here somewhere. There she is. They're going to be out in the fellowship hall, and we're going to have an open house. And you need to, first of all, see the fellowship hall. It's amazing. They're going to have pizza. How many know that we want kids from 6th grade to 12th grade to be living for Jesus? And I will tell you, we need, every one of us need a little help with that. And this is something you need to come. You say, I don't come Sunday nights usually. Come this Sunday night and connect with some great, great youth pastors. Amen? Amen? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. And I just want to say thank you for already. You're bringing coats in already, and we appreciate it. We're going to do more than we've ever done. Amen? And then the Fall Fest for the Kids on the Move is the 27th, 5 to 8. There's going to be food. There's going to be games. There's going to be a hayride. You don't want to miss it. It's one of our, I think, one of our greatest outreaches. So if you have children, get them some costumes and bring them that day, and it will be so fun. And I have a video, actually, for that. So we're going to show that.
Hey, everyone. It's Alex Gray here. And we're in the children's department storage facility. And I just wanted to remind everyone that
somebody needs to clean this place out. It's starting to look like Mr. Rogers' junk drawer.
Matt, where did you get the cotton candy from?
The pastor's office.
Okay. It's almost time for Fall Fest again this year.
I can't believe it's that time of year again. I wonder what they're gonna call it.
I don't think that's really important right now.
Well, they could call it Happy Hallelujah Ween.
Why?
Well, I took Halloween and made it holy. What about Holy Harvest Hoedown?
Because you took the word harvest and made it holy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
High five! Now, we're gonna need some sweets to balance out the sour. Jubilee Jamboree?
I don't know about that one, Matt.
Candy-coated Christian Carnival?
That's not even a thing.
How about Holy Ghost Weenie Roast?
No. No, guys, I'm sorry about that.
Make sure you come out to the Holy Ghost Weenie Roast.
No, Matt, no. Guys, we're not calling it that this year. Hold on. Here, keep yourself busy with this glue stick. So I want to remind everyone that this year, Fall Fest is going to be October 27th, 5 to 8 p.m.
Now I understand why they have so many glue sticks in the children's ministry. Pull my face apart!
I think you're all set.
Pull it apart!
I think you're good. Thank you.
You don't want to miss it. We'll keep the glue sticks in a room. It will be such a great time. Ushers, if you want to come down, we're going to give our offering. How many know that God blesses when we are faithful in our tithes and offering? Amen? Will you just testify with me, if he's blessed you and you've been faithful in your tithes and your offering, I can promise you it works. It works. Come on down. Just come right down. I was thinking how time and time again, God is faithful. And we are so thankful for that. You know, when I go, I didn't this morning, but when I go get a coffee, I go to the counter and I tell them what I want. Right? Do you never get coffee? Pumpkin cream. That's what I want. I go to there and I give my order. I go to the window. I pay for it. And I know I'm going to get something because I did what I was supposed to do. Now, some people say you don't give to get. Well, that's okay. But I want you to know that the Bible says when you're faithful, he is faithful. So I am thankful that I can just go to the window and say, God, this is what I need. I've been faithful. It's not all about finances. It's about many, many blessings. But God is faithful in our finances. Amen? Amen. So let's just ask the Lord to bless this offering today. God, we're just so thankful that you are so good. We're so thankful that Charleston Church is a giving church and they're faithful, so we can do more than we've ever done in this community, in Haiti, in all these different areas. We are thankful that we have the opportunity to give, and we will receive. We thank you that you are faithful. I pray that you bless every home that's represented here today. I pray that you help them in their finances, in their health, in their jobs, in their relationships, everything they do. We are so thankful that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bruce is going to come up, one of our board members here at the Charleston Church. Give him a hand.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they've labored long and for the year, and We need to appreciate, I know you do, but we need to show them some real appreciation this month. We have a basket out back on the counter out there, and you can put your cards in there, and you can, any of the pastors here, okay, you may put that in. Today, though, I want to talk about the senior pastor. We are blessed with pastors. This church has been blessed with pastors right from the very beginning. Brother Kimball came here in the 40s, I believe. He ministered here for 17 years. Ronnie Libby came after him, and he ministered here for 37 years. And now Pastor Ward is here, and he has been senior pastor for 18 years. So, boy. You add that up, and we've had, over the last 72 years, we've had three pastors. And this church is definitely blessed of God. Leadership is very essential in any organization, and especially God's work. God chooses people who answer the call to be leaders of the church. These people realize the importance of the high calling and the great responsibility that goes with leading a church. The pastor is our spiritual leader. Through prayer, he gets God's direction for his sermons. He helps us live the Christian life. The pastor studies the Word of God and breaks it down so that we can apply it to our lives. You've seen him use illustrations, and he'll use some people up here to illustrate those lessons so that we can fully understand them. He also teaches us the Word so that we can go out as apostles to teach others. A pastor is a comforter when we're sick, in death, in times of trouble. And he counsels us by the Word of God. To be a pastor, you must have the call on your life, much like the prophets of old. Pastor must live a good Christian life. And we have examples of that in God's Word. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7, there are 16 indicators of things that a pastor should have. And I'm going to briefly just go through those. He should be blameless in conduct, the husband of one wife. Vigilant, meaning watchful. Sober, not with alcohol. This one here means clear-headed and restrained. Of good character. Given to hospitality, ready to teach. Not a drinker of alcohol. Not quarrelsome, not greedy. Patient, peaceful, not covetous. The leader of his home. Not novice, and of a good report. If you think our pastor fills those requirements, would you stand and give him a hand? Pastor just loves that. You can tell by his reaction. A pastor is like a shepherd to the flock. However, sheep have some responsibilities as well. We as sheep must attend church faithfully. This helps us to grow and to avoid Satan's pitfalls. We must support God's work with our tithes and offerings. We must uphold the church and our pastor in prayer. In summary, touching the lives of people for Christ is the heart of Pastor Ward. He desires to lead us closer in our walk with Christ. He comforts us in difficult times. He trains us to lead others. His desire that we will be faithful to the house of the Lord and to continually pray for this church and for him. Pastor Ward, we appreciate you and what you are doing in this church and the kingdom of God. Let's see. There's some flowers here somewhere. We're supposed to have some flowers here somewhere. They're out front. Is that what Barbara said? All right. Those flowers out front. Sorry about that, Darcy. However, they're just as pretty out there. The flowers out front are for you, and we appreciate what you do here. And Pastor Ward, 18 years. I remember when you were just a little fella. Used to come over to my house once in a while. Yeah. We really appreciate what you do. God has really blessed this place because of your leadership and your desire to follow Christ. We appreciate you.
Start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, a heart. 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets formed. If the stars were made to worship, so will I can see your heart and everything you've made. Every star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. So will I. The God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. And for once you have spoken, all nature and science follows the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. So will I, so will I, Lord. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. For if everything your praise is still false, shy. If everything 100 billion times, whoa. Chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. Thank you, Jesus. And on a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. But this is the good news. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Hey! When you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of uncommon love. If you gladly just surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 1 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Hallelujah. Like you would again 100 billion times. You're so good. But one measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Awesome. Well, let's give God a big hand clap of praise. He deserves the best that we have. Come on, let's really give him what he deserves. And from the depths of our heart, Lord, we magnify you. What a mighty God you are. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Everlasting Father. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Let's stand together. I thank you, Father. I think everybody should just thank him for choosing you today. Would you please? Just begin to thank God that of all of the universe, he saw you. He knows you. He, in fact, he knows the number of the hairs on your head. He gave you a fingerprint like nobody else on the planet. I think you ought to begin to thank God that he cares about individuals like you and like me. Would you begin to thank God? Thank you, Lord. I'm uniquely made. You had a plan for me. You still have a plan for me. I thank you, Lord, today that our sin has not permanently separated us from you, but you've offered your Son to bridge the gap today. I thank you, Lord, that we are forgiven, headed for heaven, and getting miracles on the way in Jesus' name. Somebody shout a good, strong amen to this big, 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 big God. Somebody shout, he's a big God. Somebody shout, he's a big God. Amen. Amen. I don't serve a little God. He won't fit on my dash. Come on. He don't fit on my jewelry. He doesn't fit on my wall. There's no statue big enough. He's a big, 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 big God. Amen. Come on, he's a big God. Praise God. I don't want anything I do for God to make it look like he's small. I don't want to serve him like he's a small God. I don't want to attend his presence like he's a small God. I want to do everything that I do in light of the fact that he is an immensely large God. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. We stand for God's word. Thank you for your kindness to us today. As you can tell, it's very uncomfortable for us. So I don't know if the board does that because they love us or if they want to get back at me for all the foul things I do to some of them. But I do love you. I love you very much, more than I can even, I guess, comprehend. And the longevity of people in this church is really a testimony to the church. And, you know, a lot of churches in Maine especially chew up pastors faster than we can produce them. And that's not what takes place here. This is the easiest church to pastor on the planet. If you think I have a hard job, it's just because you haven't tried it. I've got the easiest job in the world. Probably I'm stitched. You don't believe it for a second, do you? You're all just like, yeah, all right. But I do. I really do have an easy... Of course, I'm kind of built for it. God did that. But and I have a wonderful family. I really have three things I want to do in life. It's just three. I want to make God proud of me. I want to make my family proud of me. And I want to make the church proud of me. And so I don't ever want to do anything that would jeopardize any of those three things. Okay? So I don't really care what people who don't know me think about me. I don't really care about what people in the community think about me. I really just want to make sure God, my wife and family, and you are proud of my life. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. I apologize. Verse 3 says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Is anybody here baptized in the Holy Spirit? So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? I'm not going to have time to preach on that today, but it's worth studying. Verse 7, he replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. How many know this world is under God's control? You look at things in the world, you might think they're out of control, but they're falling into God's plan. Verse 8, but you will, that means you haven't yet, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will, that means you are not yet, but you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That includes Maine. How many know that's where, I looked in the Greek, the ends of the earth, the Greek literally says M-A-I-N-E. And if you look in the Septuagint, it says Charleston in the deeper root. Say this with me, I'm ready for a harvest. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm ready for a harvest. I want to talk to you about the harvest for a few minutes here this morning. I don't know if you're familiar with the name of Charles de Lao, but when he was in the Vietnam War, he came to know Christ as his Savior. And when he came back, he felt this tremendous call and had the opportunity to be the light keeper in the Statue of Liberty, starting in 1971, did that for 31 years. He climbed those stairs, and every day he made sure that he said his God-given call to be a keeper of the flame. That every day, people who come into this country, people who are in this country, will see that light. That light represents to people that are lost, to people that are looking for freedom, to people that are looking for a new life, an opportunity. That light represents all of that to them. He said, I want to make sure that nobody loses sight of that flame. And when Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1, specifically verse 8, he's speaking one of the last time, well, the last time that we have recorded words from him on the earth. It's the last thing he's going to say before he goes to heaven. He doesn't pick up a doctrinal disagreement. He doesn't pick up on the color of the carpet. He doesn't say the order of the service. The last thing that he wants you and I to know from him is that we are ourselves called, not optional. We didn't choose it. We are called to be our own version of the keeper of the flame. That Christians, I'm not talking about what we choose, I'm talking about what Jesus had in mind for Christianity, that the purpose and the call of the local church is that it ought to keep the light burning of hope and freedom, not just within our four walls, but to every area that we have an opportunity to influence. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I as a church have the responsibility to be the keeper of the flame. There are churches that are empty, dotted all over this state, of people, of places that used to be filled with people who realized their call was to keep the flame alive, was to keep the gospel going out. But many of those places are empty or near empty today because they got distracted and got consumed with a thing, but they lost sight of the main thing. I love how Gene Rice used to say, you guys remember him in the old days, he'd say, keep the main thing. The main thing. They tell us today that in America, 95% of Christians never lead anybody to the Lord. My prayer that we are, because I think we're an odd church. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're kind of different. I want us to be different because this is my prayer, and I need you to hear this, and I need you to just be focused on what's going on the platform. My prayer is that 95% of this church becomes soul winners. I'm not concerned about the stats across America. I'm concerned about the Holy Ghost doing something in this place because he's already doing something unusual. How many agree that God will continue to do some unusual things in this place? 95, not a group of people, everybody. The word witness in Webster says this. A witness is one who can give a first-hand account of something that they've seen or experienced. Let's be honest. Let me ask you, and I know you will be. How many of you check social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, at least once a week? Okay. All right. I'm not suggesting you get help yet, but I just wanted to find out. How many of you watch television at least once a week? Don't raise your hand yet. But I'm praying that we get to the point where when I ask how many of you have shared Christ once a week, everybody raises their hand. And I'm not here to wear anybody out. I'm not here to beat anybody down because some of you have a total misconception of what a witness is. But my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit himself will come into this body of believers and will give us ignition so that we're not trying to be witnesses. We are breathing, living, walking, natural witnesses of God. I think that we've made evangelism and witnessing so difficult. It's because many people, they equate evangelism with marketing. Inviting somebody to church is not all there is to it. There is a life. There is a light that shines. And so today I want to spend a few minutes to talk to you about the who, the when, the how, the where, and the why of our witness. Let me ask this first question. Who should witness? And by the notes, by the way, the notes are on that at C Church 11A. All the notes are right there, and I would get them now if you're getting sleepy. Who should witness? According to the Bible, Spirit-filled believers. Spirit-filled believers are those whom God calls to be a witness. Watch this. You would think when Jesus said to them, you will be baptized and you will become witnesses. He's saying you're not witnesses now, but you're going to be them. What was he? That doesn't make sense. Because they saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the blind. They saw him take a bag lunch and turn it into a massive feeding program. They saw him do all these things. And yet Jesus says, what you've seen is not enough to make you a witness. What you have observed in my natural ministry is not going to be productive enough. What you're going to need is something beyond what you have seen in the natural. You need to have something you have received from the supernatural. I'm telling you today, every person in this building, regardless of your personality or your age or your history with God, every person in this place can become an effective witness once you've been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, you're not my witness yet. You're saved. You're going to heaven, but you're not ready to do what I've called you to do yet. Witnessing is reserved for spirit-filled believers. So Jesus says. I'll tell you why. Some of the older saints here, probably you ladies, in the morning you get up, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and you've got a little cup there, and you've got a saucer. The young folks don't know anything about that, but they're not as civilized as you. And you've got that saucer because in case you shake that a little bit, what that precious tea just falls into the saucer. I need you to hear, that is soul winning. That is soul winning. That you are so full that the sinner saucers around you get a contact high. Oh, now you get that. Okay. I went from the Grammys to the hippies in one statement right there. How many of you had a cold? They say it's cold season. How many of you have had a cold? I hear people coughing and coming and going here today while I'm preaching. And you know, if I get a cold, I don't have to talk you into getting it. I don't need 4 steps to cold catching. All I need to do is get around you long enough. When you become a witness, you don't need 8 different ways and a psychological evaluation of the people you're with. If you have something within you, you're just going to sneeze faith on somebody. And they may not get saved right then, but something's going to hit them and say, "Whoo, I'm not the same after I'm with you." My wife has this wonderful habit when we go out to eat. If she has something good, she wants me to taste it. I like that. I have a terrible habit that every time I smell something bad, I want her to sniff it. How many of you men have that same disease? Every time, if it's meat, if it's milk, or I think it's milk, or anything. I was out on a hike yesterday and I found the biggest pile of bear scat you have ever seen. And I immediately took a picture of it and I said, I gotta show my wife this. Why do you do that? I don't know. You know what? That's the difference between a spirit-filled and a non-spirit-filled person. Hello? Your grumpy way. Some of you are sitting right here. I don't want you to be a witness. I pray before you leave, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, not you. Because if you go out in the condition you're in, you're spoiled milk for the kingdom. I'm smiling. Come on. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you walk around and people say, I don't know what you have, but I want it. And you say, you can have it because it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life onto your life. If I walk by a bakery, and if you walk by a bakery, and you just smell it, I don't care if you just ate the biggest Thanksgiving meal of your life, just the smell of what's going on inside of there will revive your appetite. Sometimes I drive through town. I don't know if they're always making popcorn or what they're always making in town. But my window's up with the air on or heat now. I drive by that beautiful place in the middle of town. And I smell it. Oh, I want popcorn so bad. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what a witness is. A witness is somebody who gets around you and they says, I know what you're going through. I know what you're carrying. I know what you've been going on. I know what's been going on. And yet you still smile. And yet you still care. And yet you still feel. And yet you still understand what I'm going through. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of a witness. We've got to turn the heat up a little bit. Lord, fill us again should be our prayer. Satan is fine with you coming to church and just raising your hands and clapping your hands and going through the motions. I'm going to tell you, the devil will not fight that. But the moment you decide you're going to become a witness outside these walls, he's going to try to quarantine you. He knows you just caught a cold. You got a holy cold. And he's going to try to quarantine you and keep you because of excuses and say all this and that and remind you of the past. You got to tell the devil, no, you didn't baptize me. He did. And this infection I have of faith came from God, and you can't give me enough to get rid of it. I heard recently about a guy in Arkansas who had a big chicken farm, and a tornado came through and it lifted the chicken coop building up off the slab and sent it down the field. There were 500 chickens in that chicken coop, and almost every one of them died, but not from the tornado. I'll tell you what happened. They were standing there, and they were so used to somebody coming to them and feeding them that they said, if I stand here long enough, we'll get fed. And they died of starvation, thinking they were destined to stay on that concrete slab. There were four or five other chickens that went out, and they started getting so hungry they began to look, and they started eating grub worms. And they actually started eating what they were built to be nourished by. And while 500 died, five found life. I got a picture of that in my mind, and I said, Lord, stir Charleston Church that we don't think our Christianity is limited to this slab. Oh, it's fine to come in here, but we're not called to stand here like a bunch of chickens. Okay, feed me, feed me, feed me. Worship better, preach better, entertain better. No, no, no. We do come in, but let our greatest joy come from sharing the light of Christ to a person in darkness, to the hurting, the lost. That's why this church is strong, because we don't get caught up in the silly arguments. We're so absorbed with the reality. There's a hell, it is hot, and it's eternal. But there's a Savior, His name is Jesus, and He's available to anybody who will call on His precious name. Are there any saved folks here and glad that God has salvation for others? That's the who. You say, well, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. It won't hurt you an ounce. You say, well, I've been filled, but I don't witness. You need to be refilled. Well, if God wants me filled, then He'll fill me. Really, let's see how you act that way at lunch today. You go down to Countryside. Well, if they really want me to eat, they'll bring the food out to me. No, you'll jump line. You'll leave halfway through my altar call. So you can get food. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have that same hunger for the Holy Ghost as you have for lunch today, you shall be filled. Who should witness? Spirit-filled people. Jesus said that, not me. Then, when should I witness? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, be ready in season and out of season. That means be ready all the time, but recognize when God moves by His Spirit. Have you ever had somebody okay, we're church folks, for the most of us, and the rest of you are going to become some. Have you ever gone through something and somebody just come running up to you and just wanted to shoehorn a scripture into you, and you're like, I know, but not now. It's not that what they're saying is wrong, it's just the timing. And I think that we've got to know the timing of the Holy Spirit. Don't feel so pressured when you leave here today. Let the Holy Spirit open the door right. Nobody's been nagged to the kingdom. Nag, 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 nag. Nag, 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 nag. It's the weirdest thing. Women are the weirdest creatures on the planet. Total strangers will walk up to each other. Where'd you get those shoes? Total strangers. Never seen. Where'd you get that dress? If a man walks up to me, man, I like that shirt, I'll be like, everybody's different. But be sensitive. Look for an opportunity to drop Jesus' name. Watch, let them talk, let people talk. And then when the situation comes up, I'm going to be praying that God will help you with that. When should I witness? When the conversation comes up and somebody says, I've got a child that's having trouble with anxiety. You know, I was at church the other day and somebody else's child had that problem and they're doing really well right now. When should I witness? Do some name dropping. Just begin to listen and tune in. I'm telling you, many of you are walking by altar calls every day. And you don't have to be, you don't have to raise your voice like mine. You don't have to give them 8,000 scriptures. You just got to simply just say, you know, I know that you're going through a hard time. I went through that too. Now all of a sudden the door is wide open. When should I witness? When God opens the door. How should I witness? Are you ready? How should I witness? Use tact, stay on point, and tell your story. I'm going to tell you, you got to be wicked educated to mess this up. How should I witness? Use tact, stay on point, tell your story. You've got to be very careful that you don't ambush somebody. Remember when Jesus sat with that woman at the well? Some of you, it's the first time you've heard it. The Bible says in John 4 that a Samaritan woman who was a despised race at the time, there was racism in Jesus' day, she came to the well. Jesus was at the well himself. His disciples gone to town to get something to eat. And he begins to talk with her. He dialogues with this broken, shame-filled woman. And he says, give me some water. And they have a discussion about water, which leads to a discussion about eternal life. As soon as Jesus starts cornering her on the discussion of eternal life, now she wants to have a worship argument. She says, well, we Samaritans worship in these mountains here, and you Jews worship up in the temple like David taught you. Ours is the real worship because we worship out of the first five books of the Bible. Yours is not the real worship because yours came from David and all that music. That is literally the conversation that Jesus had with this woman at the well. Her life is falling apart, and she wants to argue. Because that's what people do when God starts to deal with the pain. They change the subject. Come on, how many of you husbands do that all the time when your wife's right? It works. And he gets back to the topic. Then the Holy Spirit begins to gift him. He says, I see that you've got a broken home. What? Yeah, I see that you've had five husbands. And now the one you're living with this guy and you're not married and this is not a healthy relationship. She starts breaking down. She gets up from that meeting, runs to town, and she says to everybody in town, come see a man that has changed my life. I found three main tools to be a witness that Christ has called every one of us to be. One, use tact. Jesus just didn't blow in and say, well, I see you are a Jezebel. He said, can I have, it would have been the modern day coffee shop. Hey, can I have, what do you like in your coffee? He begins to just speak to her and care. Do you care enough to have a conversation? Use tact. Stay on point. She wanted to just change the topic. Well, what about this preacher? And what about that church? And what about dinosaurs? Well, I don't care about dinosaurs. You're going to hell. What about them? And what about, answer what you can, but really make sure you stay on point. It's really about your life and eternity and Jesus Christ. And then tell your story. That's what she did. Some of you have the most incredible stories, and it's because you don't tell it, you don't think it's valuable, or you've told it and somebody scoffed at it. If you're here and you're breathing and you're serving Christ, look at me, friend, you are a walking, talking miracle. Don't let anybody devalue. Somebody's been, they were in drugs and alcohol 30 years, fine. If you grew up in church, you needed just as much grace. Oh, you're not saying anything. I grew up in church. It takes just as much grace to be saved in church. That's an uncomfortable laugh. And then repeat. Just keep doing it. Let's talk about this. Where should I witness? Wherever the Holy Spirit opens doors. Jesus never traveled more than 100 miles. Some of you travel that much in a week. Some of you travel that much in a few days. You know, Jesus' ministry never went more than 100 miles, but he sure was faithful in the region he was at. And the whole world is being shaken because he was faithful in his hometown and in the neighboring towns. See, if you go down to Whitney's and gas up today, you'll notice that Blaine has not put any tables and chairs by the gas pumps. Now, I was down there the other day, and there was a whole line of cars. There was two women parked at two... No, I'm they were women. So anyways, they were parked at two gas... on the inside of the gas pumps, and they were having a conversation. And cars lined up waiting to get to the gas. And I looked out. I'm a kind of an anxious person. I said, I'm going to go out and just ask these... And I looked, and I saw one of them was a backslidden Pentecostal. I said, I got time. I'm not going out there. There's explosives around here. I'm not touching that. So I just waited. I gassed up. But other than them, most of us just gas up and go. I think it's interesting because the gas pumps are not the place to fellowship. They're the place to get you ready to go to the next place. Now, Dunkin' Donuts, that's the place to fellowship. Right? Holy donut God. They have tables and chairs. There you sit in fellowship. And you know, I got a picture of Charleston Church. It's kind of like Whitney's gas pump and Dunkin' Donuts. Because at one end, we come here for fellowship and we get to see each other. I like to see people laugh and talk and shake hands and pray for each other and serve each other. But at the same time, we're not just here to get a caffeine high, spiritual high. We're here to gas up. Why? Because this isn't the end of our faith. This is the beginning of our faith. Your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your neighbor, your coworker, they need Jesus. Years ago, Rudy Swainepoel was here. If you just give me a few minutes here, and Rudy prophesied from the platform this prophecy about the church becoming a lighthouse all over the state. The next day, I went to a ball game in Corinth, and Ardith McGraw was there. Ardith, many of you don't know her, played the piano in this church for 50 years. And Ardith pulled me aside, and she said, "The same exact prophecy that man gave yesterday is the same one that I heard 50 years ago in our church in the little red seated building." That might have been 8 years ago. All right, I pastor by the Spirit. So I said, all right, Lord, let me pray about this. And I realized that God was wanting us to branch out of this place and get the gospel out these walls and out of this metropolis called Charleston. And that was a joke, but not very funny. So I kept... And I've wore the board out because of this opportunity, that opportunity, that opportunity. And then I got, people took advantage of me over and over again. And I thought, you know, this is it, this is it, this is it. And just wore out with it and just kind of done with it. But I had a conversation with Daryl and Paula this summer. And they said, you know, we know of this place that they would really like to hear from you. Is there anything that this church could do for this church? I'm so grateful for Daryl and Paula doing that. So the board member called me. I said, I'll talk with you. Their board came to my office. We had a conversation this summer. And by the end of the conversation, I said, look, I know that because when I have this conversation with many churches, they get mad and leave. I'm like, okay. I thank God we got a wonderful board here. Not every church has a good board. And these guys at the end, I said, look, I'll tell you what I can do for you. I don't have time to mess around. If you guys want to shut down and become a part of us, you have to leave it all. And they said, they all went like this. They went, we were hoping you would say that. Okay. Oh, let me talk to the board, I said. So I talked to our church board, and let's pray about it. I've talked to them about many opportunities that all went to a dead-end road. So they're gracious. They prayed about it. I got the two boards together, and a wonderful meeting. They left. Our board said, these guys have got a great spirit. There's a similar spirit, similar mentality. Let's go forward. So I met with their board, and I said, look, God's given me these other things, and I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but in essence, they have to close everything down. and everything is absorbed in this, and in turn, we take them on. Went, took the board, had a meeting with their church family on a weeknight, and I mean, the meeting could not have gone any better. And I didn't announce it last Sunday, but as of last Sunday, we are no longer just Charleston Church in Charleston, Maine, but we are now two churches and one church in two locations, down in Sullivan, Maine, down on the coast. So today, you don't know it, but you've got church family members in Charleston Church down east, in Sullivan, Maine, on the coast, down on the coast. Come on, give God glory for that. That's God's doing. That's God's doing. I didn't have to argue. I didn't have to sell. I didn't have to. It was the easiest thing I've done so far. It's the easiest thing I've been involved with so far. I'm just telling you today, when you begin to let your heart get wide open, you'll have no idea where God will lead you to touch people. And I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but I'm going to tell you right now what I sense strong in my spirit. That's the first door. Several doors have opened since then, but I believe that God is going to start opening doors. I'm not looking for New England. I'm not looking for the East Coast. I'm looking for the greatest state in the United States. I'm looking for God to take Maine and turn it into one of the most faith-filled places on this planet. We're going to flip the script. And I'm not saying that I've asked God to just check my ego day after day after day, but this is my prayer, that we stop becoming the second least church in the United States, in the Maine. I pray that Maine will become the most churched state in the United States, because if God can do it here, He can do it anywhere. I'm not playing church games. Some of you like church games. I'm not interested in your church games. I'm interested in seeking and saving the lost. From town to town to town. We've got to get involved. We've got to get part of it. Bruce Poliquin is here with us today with Matt Hudson, and he wants to see you, and I want you to see him in the foyer. We've got to get involved. We have got to start making our votes known. We've got to start making our voice known. We've got to start letting the people know that there is a God, and He's not overlooking Maine. He's looking in on Maine, and we're not going to ask somebody else to do it. We're going to do it ourselves. Come on, give God thanks that we have this opportunity. It's all right here. When you leave today, you're going to have the new Project 19 flyer. It will tell you all the things that you accomplished last year. It will tell you the things that will be accomplished this year. Oh, here's another miracle. I've been talking with the vice chairman of the board, and we're going to look for a pastor, and we're going to give them a full-time pastor. And we're going to start where everybody would not start, on the coast. I talked to the vice chairman of the board this week. And the church runs 65 to 85 people. And he said, Pastor, not one person has said a negative thing about the change. I'm going to tell you, it'd be easier to split Atlantic Ocean open and lobsters walk up on the shore and jump in boiling pots of hot water and shed their skin for you to eat them, than to have a church in Down East or anywhere in Maine with more than two people in it not have something negative to say. I don't know if that will happen in here, but I assume that it will. Why? Because God did not come to play games. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Musicians come. Let me get to the why. We've talked about who, when, how, where. Now let me talk to you about the why. These are statistics given by the Maine Prayer Strategy Ministry Report. In 2015, I need you to look at these words and take it with all seriousness. This is the Maine Prayer Strategy Report. I don't know where they got all their information, but I've been able to verify quite a bit of it. 2015, in the state of Maine, 14,000 victims of sexual assault. That should never be tolerated. 2015, 373 rapes and attempted rapes reported. And I think the one stat I heard, that only one of four are ever reported. 2016, 1,997 abortions. 2017, 418 opioid deaths. In 2017, it's reported that there were 200 to 300 reported sex trafficking victims. That's in our state. That is humans that have been taken, abducted, and sold for sex. This isn't Brooklyn, New York. This is Milo, Maine. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for every effort, every local community that can do it, faith or non-faith, to change that. But I'm going to tell you, the ultimate change that will ever affect those numbers is that the hearts of men be changed. And there's only one thing that can change the hearts of men, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other answer. Let's do everything we can. But I'm standing bold with you today to say, Jesus is the answer for our world today. Beside Him, there is no other. Jesus is. Do you believe that Jesus is the way today, the truth, and the life, and He can change the situation? Not only do we need to do this because of that, the next screen will tell you we're the second least church in the United States. But more important, now, I want it to haunt you. If you're wanting one of those feel-good services, you came to the right one. Because we're not as concerned about you feeling good as we are about the lost feeling saved. You've got children, family members that you love. The greatest burden on your life is somebody else's life. I'm telling you, look at me. We're going to see their life changed in Jesus' name. And every one of you have a call. Now, you got different places, different gifts. But every one of you have a gift to witness. Revelation 14:11, speaking of a vision of hell and John the Revelator had. You know, most Americans don't really believe there's a literal eternity. Say nothing about hell, but if you believe there's a heaven, you have to believe there's a hell. It's only intelligent thinking that would go there. But let us be reminded, amongst all our prosperity and blessing, that Revelation 14:11 is still true. Speaking of hell, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day and night. If I were to ask you if you believe that's true, you would say, I'm sad to say yes, but now I'm going to ask you prayerfully, Lord, help me, help us to make sure that as few people go there as possible. I believe that the scripture's right. We should be motivated to win the lost because of the soon return of Christ. But whether Christ comes in a day or He comes in 100 years, I'm already knowing that that every man is one breath away from eternity. I think of Robert Thompson. Remember that Dalton Robert Thompson's parents was here and they came for service. And I gave an altar call like I do every Sunday. I promise, I make that commitment to you. If you'll bring lost people, I'll give an altar call. If nobody comes week after week, I'm not changing my mind. If you get tired of hearing it, I'm not changing my mind. That's what we're here to do, and He'll recognize it. I gave an altar call, and Robert's parents came and gave their lives to Christ for the very first time. I'm not saying this to be overdramatic, but in 24 hours at a Four Corners over here in Stetson, somebody drove through, they didn't stop, and smashed their vehicle. And in less than a week from when they came to Christ, I buried them. Ladies and gentlemen, until we realize the brevity of life, we will never get serious about our faith. But the moment we believe that everybody, the Bible says that this life is but a vapor here today, like a flower just fades and goes. At 100 years at best, it'll go by quick. But ladies and gentlemen, for you, for your family, all the sufferings on this side of eternity, the best is yet to come. But that's not the story that everybody has. I'm so glad that the Bible's right. Jesus said, "No man." Jesus said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Say that with me. I'm not willing that any should perish. Jesus said, I'm not willing that any should perish, and I add to that, and neither are we. When every person that's saved and ready for heaven today, to just, if you would, I know not everybody does it, and that's okay, but just lift a holy hand as the Bible says to God, and thank God you are saved today, would you please? Lord, I thank you that I'm saved. Lord, I'm not only thanking you that I'm saved, I thank you that I'm saved because there's other people that I can reach that need to know life, that need to be saved, that need to be rescued from the flames of an eternal separation from you called hell. I thank you, Lord. Our homes shall be saved. Our children shall walk with you. And Lord, we believe not only Charleston, not only Corinth, not only Penobscot, Piscataquis County, but God, we together claim today that Maine shall be saved. From the state house to the schoolhouse to our house, Lord, pour your spirit out on the precious people of this state whom you died on the cross for, whom you've loved. God, help us to do our part. We're not the only church, but God, let us do our part to be a church that you'll bless, and let the flame of the light of Christ never go out amongst this people. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and as I'm preaching, you just feel this conviction. It's like your chest is tightening and you're just kind of breathing different. You're like, you haven't been uncomfortable like this for a while. And you say, what is going on? I'm telling you, well, I'll tell you what that is. I'm in here every week. That's the Lord discomforting you because he wants badly to get in your life. And today is the day. If you'll invite him into your life, Jesus Christ will give you this life, not just strength and help for this life, but a hope for heaven. You've got loved ones there. You want to see them, and you can know how. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and confess him as your Lord, and you're as saved as I am. If that's you today, and you say, I want to pray that prayer, when you pray it, Pastor, I'm going to join you. Just raise your hand up nice and high. Leave it up there for a minute so I can see you. It's a wide building. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Today's the day. I'm going to give my life to Christ. Let's stand together. This one that raised their hand is a recommitment. I know who that is. I look across the building today and I think I know most everybody. But how many of you know somebody right now that if they were to die today, they would not have a hope for eternity? Just raise your hand right now. Please look at me. Ask the Holy Spirit to do everything you can to get them into that next altar call. Would you believe together with me there won't be another altar call this year that there isn't somebody giving a first-time decision to serve Jesus Christ? Again, I come back to that point. There are those of you, the heaviest part of your life is the faithlessness and the sin and the lives of people that you love. But you want them to be saved. I want every person, this is going to be kind of a bit different. And I know we usually end up with an altar call, but I have confidence in my heart today that what we're doing, what we're preaching today, is going to increase in a mighty way. I want every person that's got that person on their mind, that one person, you say, I want to see that one person saved before the end of this year. Quickly come and join me at this altar. Just standing at this altar. You won't be here a long time, but I believe in action. I believe a faith with action is a faith that has a reaction. A faith with action is a faith that will have a reaction. Come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your family will be saved. Your co-workers will know Christ. I'm so proud of you. This church hasn't grown because it's the Bible Belt. This church has grown because you've brought people with you. Come right up close if you would. Step right up close because there'll be a lot of people coming. A lot of people coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, this is going to be the quietest it's going to be, I'm telling you right now. But just come real quick, if you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I want to make sure everybody's moved that wants to. I know the altar's full. Some just couldn't even get to the altar. It's all right. I want you right now. Look at me if you would, please. If you drove home today and there was a car rolled over, you wouldn't hesitate. I believe every one of you would just immediately jump out. You'd do anything for them. I pray that God will give you that kind of urgency in prayer first. I will do anything, Lord, as I pray. We're talking about, you remember that last time I was here with a bowl of goldfish? Does anybody remember that sermon? Three people. I'm used to that. It's no problem. I'm just teasing you. I'm okay. You don't remember maybe, but I had a goldfish bowl up here. And I took a goldfish out and I put it on the table. And man, I'm glad people weren't packing because I'd have been in trouble. And you could have heard that little fish, blah, 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 blah. And people go, oh, 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 oh. And nobody did anything. Everybody just sat there, oh, 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 the fish is flopping. I bought it for $1.25. Oh, oh, oh. I said, does anyone need to do anything? And somebody, who ran up here?
Morgana.
Who?
Morgana Vick.
Morgana Vick ran up here. She's in Australia now, being trained for the ministry. Morgana ran up, took the net, and put the fish in there. $1.25. May God give us the same asthmatic attack when we look at the lives of people, because they're not worth a dollar. To God, they're worth more than all the silver and the gold on the entire planet. When you pray for the lost, you pray God's will. And look at me today. You might be thinking, oh, it's going to be so hard. No, you have no idea. It's almost unfair. The tidal wave of God's compassion and love is going to flow through you, and the hardest-hearted people are going to weep, saying, let me meet this Jesus. How many are ready for that kind of revival? This isn't a church growth program. This is a heaven building program. Because as far as I'm concerned, the building's not big enough. But all you need to do is let the Holy Spirit flow. So first of all, would you just begin to pray, Holy Spirit, fill me with power today, if you would, please. Just lift up your voice and begin to say, Lord, I receive this contagious faith. I pray in this altar, on those seats in the balcony and online. Lord, I pray that we will be filled with a faith that is contagious, filled with a joy that is not temporary or silly, but a joy that will draw the attention of people that are hurting. God, give us something opposite of godless culture. Give us something full of peace, confidence, joy. In the name of Jesus. And now just begin to call those people's names out in prayer right now, would you? Maybe you've prayed for them for years. Well, pray for them again right now. And talk to God. Come on, talk to God. Talk to God, would you please? The Bible says you can intercede for people. Moses saved a city for a while because of his prayers. You can save your children for a while by your prayers. Come on, begin to intercede right now for about 30 seconds. Lord, help our loved ones. Reach our neighbors, reach our children, reach our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, co-workers, fellow classmates, for the cause of Christ, for the cause of Christ, to reach people in Jesus' name. Somebody say a good amen. Would you petition God with me right now? It's an old-fashioned prayer. This is how people get saved, first by prayer. Would you petition heaven with me right now for the state of Maine? That God will continue to open doors, not only for us, but for all churches, to grow and expand. Would you? Would you? Lord, give us influence in the church house. And when there's influence in the church house, there'll be influence in the state house. In the name of Jesus. When there's influence in the church house, there'll be influence in the White House. Oh, God, we pray for our people. Thank you, Lord, for using us to reach people in Haiti. Now, Lord, we pray you'll help us to reach people in Hudson. Thank you, Lord, that you'll help us to reach the children in the orphanages in Haiti. We'll never back up, but help us to reach the children in our local schools as well. Come on, begin to thank God right now. He said he'll pour his Spirit out where people are thirsty, where people are hungry. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Just begin to thank God. Just begin to thank God. Begin to thank God. Hallelujah. Your I'm going to let you go in just a minute.
Your name cannot be
on. Let's praise him just for a minute. We'll let you go. Get you some lunch this afternoon.
Your name is life forever lifted high. Your name. Overcome. shadows can't deny.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your name.
Come on, begin to praise Him. There's power
forever
in that name.
Lifted
come on, lift Him up all over this
your
building.
Name
those of you online.
Cannot be overcome.
Praise Him. He's going to do it.
Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Silence fear. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
Come on, sing it.
Your name is alive.
We can't do it,
forever
but God can. I said, you can't do it, but God can. Amen, amen, amen. From Fort Kent to Kittery, let God have Maine back again. Sing it.
Your name
is
alive.
Oh, He's not a small God. He's not a weak God. He's a mighty God. He can do it here. He can do it anywhere. Begin to praise Him. Sing.
Your name is alive, forever lifted high.
Dear Lord,
your name will not be overcome.
Sing it, praise Him.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make Jesus, Jesus.
Praise God. When you leave today, you're going to have one of these in your hand. It's a great testimony of the men are at the doors. Every one of you have a story. I said every one of you have a story. Time to brush it back up again. Time to polish it off. And say, I'm going to start telling my story again. Amen. I love you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Go ahead and sing. Have a great lunch this afternoon. I'll see you tonight.